Hello and a warm welcome to this week's Start-Stop Reflection from St. Stephen Walbrook. I'm Stephen Baxter. Imprisonment features widely throughout the Bible, with many of the principal personalities experiencing confinement. Joseph, Samson, Jeremiah, Daniel, John the Baptist, Peter, James, John, Paul, and of course Jesus, just before his crucifixion. Also, the need for the people of God to be mindful of captives and their condition is a consistent theme. Release for the captives is a prominent metaphor for the liberation that God's chosen one will bring, and real practical concern for captives is part of the responsibilities of those seeking to serve the kingdom of God. Our reading this week is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at verse 34. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Caring for the oppressed, including those in prison, equates to caring for Jesus. Elizabeth Fry, one of the most committed and inspirational prison reformers, died in Ramsgate on this day, the 12th of October, in 1845. She was brought up in a comfortable Quaker family in Norfolk. Her mother instilled into her from an early age the fundamental Quaker values, and she began to see as frivolous many aspects of her life as part of a set of dashing young people dressing in gay riding habits and scarlet boots and riding about the country to balls and gaieties of all sorts, as the social commentator Harriet Martineau described Elizabeth and her sisters. Hearing the American abolitionist Quaker preacher William Savory in Norwich was a transformational experience for Elizabeth. His humanitarian preaching helped her to understand fully the essence of Quakerism. She wrote in her journal, "I thank God for having sent at least a glimmering of light through him into my heart, which I hope with care and keeping it from the many draughts and winds of this life may not be blown out, but become a large brilliant flame that will direct me to that haven where will be joy without sorrow and all will be comfort." After marrying the wealthy Quaker businessman Joseph Fry, she moved to London, where she raised a family of 11 children. Encouraged by a friend, she visited Newgate Prison in 1813 and was deeply moved by the shocking conditions. No segregation between men, women and children. No segregation between hardened and petty criminals. Many prisoners were naked, appalling sanitation, and at best straw for bedding. Fry committed to making regular visits and to campaign for dramatic improvements in conditions. She introduced regular Bible reading classes and encouraged the development of education of prisoners and a focus on rehabilitation rather than pure punishment. She encouraged many of her friends and associates to visit the prison to provide clothing, finance, to help in education and join the campaign for reform. And she vigorously lobbied Parliament. Newgate was also a stopping-off point for convicts who had been condemned to transportation to Australia. Fry also campaigned for improvement in conditions and provision of education on transport ships, on which conditions were often as poor as on slave ships. Over a period of 20 years, she visited every ship carrying female convicts prior to departure from the UK. She also campaigned for night shelters for the homeless and travelled extensively throughout Europe in her promotion of the campaign for prison reform. Between 1838 and 1842, she visited all prisons in France and embarked on similar projects in Belgium, Holland, Switzerland, and Germany. She founded associations that were dedicated to improving Newgate and also those with national and international influence. Her revolutionary work was acknowledged by the royal family and members of the aristocracy of Regency London. Fry broke through many of the constraints imposed on women of the time by rising way beyond the domestic-focused life expected as the norm. Her disruption of gender stereotypes and accepted social structures had a lasting effect and inevitably stoked opposition. "We long to burn her alive," wrote the Reverend Sidney Smith in 1821 of Elizabeth Fry. "Examples of living virtue disturb our repose and give birth to distressing comparisons." The church, so wedded to the establishment, was and sometimes still is a strident reactionary voice in decrying social progress. In addition to facing opposition and criticism, Fry had to contend with depression and mental health issues, as well as the challenges of family life with 11 children, and also her role as a Quaker minister. She influenced and inspired many future humanitarians, such as Florence Nightingale, and she continues to project a deeply relevant model of social activism that is demanded in the teaching of Jesus Christ. So let us pray. We pray, our Father, for those whose freedom has been taken from them, for all who suffer imprisonment, whether for crime or for conscience' sake, for all whose vision of your world is seen through bars, and in whose heart the lamp of hope burns low. God of mercy, give them help according to their need, and may we be ever mindful that in helping the oppressed, in helping those in prison, we are serving your Son, our Saviour, in whose name we lift our prayers. Amen. Many thanks for listening to this reflection. Do join us, if you're able, in the church for Choral Evensong on Wednesday the 13th of October at 6:15 p.m. and for Choral Classics and Choral Eucharist at 12:15 and 12:45 p.m. on Thursday. May God bless you.